All right, Mason and Ireland rolling on. As Chris mentioned, it's Momo and Ireland all this week. And after we do this show, Ramona is going to pack her one suitcase bag. Are you even spending a night in Phoenix when you go down to do this?
One night, but not very many, not even very many hours, because I think I'm flying in Saturday morning. I will be out Sunday morning, but less than 24 hours total.
Okay, so she's going into Phoenix for Game 5.
Yep.
Bucks and Suns, the NBA Finals continuing. Monty Williams is very well liked, the coach of the Suns, around the NBA. He's got a great personal story. If you've never read it or heard about it, you should Google it. I probably can't do it justice, you know, in explaining on the radio. The 30-second version is Monty and his wife were raising a family of five young kids. His wife was killed in an auto accident, widowing Monty and leaving him to raise these five kids on his own. He's figured out a way to navigate that, rebuild his stock as a head coach in the league, and now he's two wins away from winning the title. Ramona, the ABC had a camera. ESPN had a camera in the Suns' locker room after they lost the other night, and Monty gave an interesting post-game speech. I'm going to play it for you, and I'll let you react to it. Here's Monty after the game.
Hey, let me tell you something. All of this is correct. We're in this situation right now because we put ourselves in this situation. I mean it in a good way. We got three games to win two. That's how you got to look at it. You can't have your heads down right now. You got to stay together. That's the deal. What happened tonight is correctable. 17 offensive rebounds they got, 17 turnovers we had. Think about that, guys. We had a 21-point fourth quarter. We're making it hard on ourselves, okay? But we can't have our heads down. It's emotionally tough. But we got to know we put ourselves in this position. We got home court advantage. You got to keep your spirit high. That's the deal. Ever since I've been here, we talked about everything you want is on the other side of hard. This is hard. This is freaking hard. So you got to stick together. That's the deal, all right? Let's bring it in. Come on, guys.
I thought that was brilliant after a loss. I thought it was a really good speech. The question is, Ramona, do you agree with him? Because I don't. I don't think the Suns' problems are correctable. I think the reason that Milwaukee had 17 offensive rebounds is they don't have a matchup for Giannis. Giannis is flying in there. I do. Mm-hmm. I am picking the Suns. I think because they have two games at home, I think it's going to be Suns in seven. But I don't necessarily think that the Suns can correct the rebounding problem. Brooke Lopez and Giannis are bigger than anybody Phoenix. You know, DeAndre Ayton had 19 rebounds in game one. If they can figure out a way to get DeAndre Ayton out of the game, get him in foul trouble, I think the Suns do or the Bucks do create more turnovers because Drew Holiday is a really good defender, and they do create more rebounds. How about you? You've seen three. After Saturday, it'll be three of these games in person.
Yeah.
Do you think what Monty said is accurate, that all that Phoenix can correct everything they did wrong for those two games in Milwaukee?
I kind of do. I mean, look, a lot of what the Suns do is they get out, like they tend to get out and run. So there's the one thing that I think is hurting them a little bit is that they're not getting the fast break points that they used to. And that's just a matter of putting your head down, right? Like, it's just a matter of paying attention to it. And the other thing they had problems with was turnovers. Same thing. You can fix that. You're right. They don't have a matchup for Giannis. They don't really have a tall front court. And that this is where losing Dario Saric hurts, because when Ayton gets in foul trouble, they used to go to Dario Saric as this backup center. Well, now they got Frank Kaminsky and maybe Cam Johnson. Those are, you know, they're good players, but they're not as good as Saric in that backup center role. But I don't think this comes down to that. I think it's literally, can Phoenix just clean up the turnovers? Can they get out and run like they generally do? And most teams are able to fix that at home.
I'm going to say something ridiculous. Mm. And I know it's ridiculous before I'm even saying it, but hear me out.
Okay. I'll bear with you.
The best player in this series, and it's not even close, has been Giannis. Devin Booker's had a great game. Chris Middleton's had a great game. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton's had a great game.
Chris Paul did too. Yeah.
Giannis has had a great series. He's got three basically monster games. Games 2, 3, and 4. Shouldn't Giannis be considered for MVP of the finals even if the Bucks lose? I know it hasn't happened since Jerry West in 1969. I mean, it just doesn't happen anymore. I don't think the media even considers voting for a guy on a losing. I actually thought LeBron should have got it the year that they, one of the years that they gave it to, I think they ended up giving it to Andre Iguodala. And LeBron,
yep, when they lost.
Yeah, and I thought LeBron was clearly the best player in that series. Ramona, is there even a snowball's chance, a 1% chance, that if Giannis keeps playing the way he's playing, that he could win the MVP if the Bucks lose the series?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I think that this is so set up to be a Chris Paul coronation after all those years.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
I don't know. If the Suns come back and win it, you and I both know it'll be because Chris Paul and Devin Booker got going, right? They're not going to be able to win this unless those guys get it going together. So it'll either be that Devin Booker or Chris Paul, but I generally just think like people are going to give it to Chris Paul. It just feels like unless he has two stinkers of a game and they only win because Devin Booker goes for 50. But if the Suns win, if they win these next two, if they win two more games and win the title, I just feel like it's going to be one of those two guys.
I thought that this was going to be a battle between Chris Paul and Giannis to see who moved up in class in the NBA hierarchy. You know, because the only thing you could say about either one of those guys is that they've never won a title. They're Hall of Fame players, both of them, even if they stop. Even Giannis, if he stopped playing today, would make the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought one of those two guys is going to change their narrative forever. Can't I now add Chris Middleton to that boat? If Chris Middleton, who I think came into this, is just kind of a guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's on Team USA.
He gets on the All-Star team.
We put him in All-Star games because you can't have just one All-Star from Milwaukee when they've got those great records.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think by performing on this stage as well as he has, for whatever reason, I think people already recognize Devin Booker as a great player. I think Chris Middleton was always recognized as a good player. Doesn't he, especially if Milwaukee wins this thing, improve his standing more than almost anybody else?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Like, why is it that we don't take Chris Middleton serious? I think it's just because he really is kind of a bellwether player. Like, some games, he has that one game.
And he's somewhat one-dimensional. He's not regarded as an elite passer, as an elite defender. Yeah. He can just get buckets.
Yeah.
You know, but that, couldn't I say that about Devin Booker, too?
I don't know. I think Devin Booker has changed his reputation this year, right? I think he's changed it to where we don't see him as just a stats guy anymore. I really think he has turned his narrative into in his what people see him as. He went from being a stats guy, you know, just okay, he can score, he can shoot, to like, oh no, he's a really good all around player. And I think he's done that this year during the playoffs. Chris Middleton should have the same thing, but I don't. He just seems a little more inconsistent to me. And I don't think we know him. Like, I don't think his personality comes out as much. Like, you know, the Devin Booker Kobe stuff, initially I was like, okay, whatever. You know, like, everybody looked up to Kobe. But, like, that was a real thing. I mean, I thought it was just like Kobe, you know, wrote something on his shoes once. No, he really sought out Kobe. He really connected with Kobe. They met up a bunch. Kobe really mentored him. He was one of the young guys that I think Kobe actually did give a lot of time and attention to. And, you know, there was plenty of people who wanted that from Kobe, but he only made time for a few of them. You had to earn that time. And I think that's become Devin Booker's story. Whereas I don't, what's Chris Middleton's story?
Well, that he's the second best player in the Bucks.
Yeah.
That I think that everybody thought maybe Drew Holiday was at, but not anymore. I mean, Middleton's the guy that they go to when the games are on the line, even more than Giannis, because he makes free throws.
Yeah.
I mean, is that one of the most unheralded 42-point games you've ever seen?
Oh, very much so, especially in the finals. I mean, Chris Middleton, you know, we all gave him his – I love Kendrick Perkins. You know, Kendrick's line that he always says is, you know, carry on at the end of every statement, right?
Right, right.
So his tweet the next morning was, good morning to Chris Middleton and Chris Middleton only. Carry on. Right? Carry on. I mean, I think he's become legitimized as not just – a guy who's along for the ride with Giannis he's a legitimately really good player. And if you put him on another team, he would have a lot of success as well. But I think Devin Booker's probably done more for his reputation in these playoffs than Middleton.
All right. Now fill in the blank on this question.
and I'm not sure the answer. I'm like, when I watch the games, I find myself rooting for Phoenix because I want, this is kind of a little bit inside baseball, but the Phoenix announcer, Al McCoy, is in his 80s. Yeah. He's never called a championship. He's been a great mentor to guys like Bill McDonald and me. He's just a great guy. I want Al to be able to call a title. I like their PR director, Julie Fye, I'm pretty friendly with. I've known Julie for a long time. I'd love to see her get a title. So my reasons are kind of personal. But I also think that, like you pointed out, Chris Paul, at the end of his career, I think it would be a cool thing for him to you know, kind of check that box on his resume. But, Ramona, in general, if you are a Lakers fan, you should be rooting for blank.
I would root, if you're a Lakers fan, I think you want to root for Milwaukee, because I don't think you want another team in the West winning a title.
But wouldn't that be more motivation for the Lakers to make moves? And then we'd get to see the defending NBA champion four times a year instead of just two.
I guess. I don't know. Look, I think I like Phoenix. Like, I like going there. I like going to, I really like spring training over in Phoenix.
Matter of fact, we should take a couple calls on this.
Yeah,
877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. If you are a Lakers fan, you should be rooting for blank in these finals. I'm genuinely curious. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm rooting for Phoenix for personal reasons, but you think it's Milwaukee?
I think it's Milwaukee, because to me, like, the Bucks aren't a threat to the Lakers for free agents or whatever. But, like, did you think it was good for the Lakers when the Warriors became a dynasty?
Well, again, personal reasons. My attitude was, yeah, if the Lakers don't win, I'm good with the Warriors winning because of Clay. You know, because Michael,
yeah,
you know, I work with Michael and Clay, and he was going to every game, and I wanted Michael to be happy. But I don't, yeah, I don't know if you're a Laker fan, maybe you do want your supremacy in the West to be unchallenged. I always think it's kind of cool when all the power's in the West, because it's been that way for a few years, where most of the great teams have come out of the West. San Antonio, Lakers, you know, there was that one exception would have been Miami. But then here comes Golden State. So the power in the West has been fun because we get to do more games in the West. I'm for good games and entertaining product. And, you know, if Phoenix wins it, then we get four games against the NBA champs next year, which I think would be kind of cool. But I'm not sure what most Laker fans think. Like, I wonder, like, I'll text O'Shea. I don't know what a dyed-in-the-wool Laker fan would want. It's weird. But 877-710-ESPN. We'll see if we can figure it out. It's Momo in Ireland for at least another.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
They're 45 minutes, and then Ramona gets through the week. Mason will be back on Monday. And Ramona, you're actually going to get on Monday for your birthday, right?
Yeah.
I'm out Monday. I think it's you and Mason on Monday. And then Mason and I will be back together on Tuesday. But it's your birthday Monday, right?
Yeah. Am I working Monday? Okay. I didn't know.
You are. You did agree to it like a month ago, but if you can't, let me know.
I hope that doesn't screw up your birthday.
Sort of. Okay.
I don't remember that. Find someone else.
Yeah, if you don't want to work, we can get somebody else. But
well, I was going to go to the beach and play with Daniel, but okay. Yeah, okay, well, I don't remember saying that, but it's possible. It's possible. You never know.
All right, so here's the question we're asking is, if you're a Lakers fan, you should be rooting for blank in these finals. Bucks are, Jorge, you're a Lakers fan. Who are you rooting for in these finals?
I want the Suns to win, man, to be honest.
Why?
Because, like, they beat us, and then, you know, when a team beats you, you just want it more the next season. Feel me?
Yeah, let's find out. Tom in Santa Barbara's on line two.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Hey, Tom. Ramona says if you're a Laker fan, you root for the Bucks. I think you probably root for the Suns. Tom, who are you rooting for and why? Tom, are you there?
Here, can you hear me?
Yep, go. We can hear
you,
Tom. Yep, we can hear you.
Cool. Hey, it's a great honor to talk to both you. Momo, John, you guys are my Laker knowledge, and I appreciate you every day. What I do, I get to listen to you every day. First of all, I shaved my head at no charge because I'm going to go bald eventually. So
there
I
you go.
I got a trial run done. So the answer is this, John, to replace the Bucks with the Celtics, would you ever, as a Laker fan, root for the Celtics to win? I mean, come on, it's the East. We want it in the West. The best is the West. And if we got to come back next year, we got four shots at Phoenix to kick their butt. So the answer is we're rooting for the Suns. Plus, Devin Booker, Kobe Bryant connection. Come on, let's root for these guys, and then let's go beat them next year.
I agree with you, Tom. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the compliment. Very nice of you. All right, I just heard back from O'Shea. He says, I would say Suns because it's better to be beat by the team if destiny that no one could beat. So, in other words, it would prove the, he says, but if they are to lose, it would prove that the one team they faced that was healthy stopped them. So, I mean, I guess that goes back to what Jorge was saying. They're the team that beat us. So now the best for us is if they win.
Yeah.
Here's Brian in Orange County. Hey, Brian, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for keeping my my weekday traffic rides going strong. I appreciate all you guys do. I completely agree with what everybody said. As a Lakers fan, you go out to the team who winds up being the champs. Okay, like, fine. I could get beat by the champs, especially since we were out. And even more incentive to get back on it next year, make sure they don't knock us out of the playoffs again.
Thanks, Brian, for the phone call. The other thing is, I don't think many Laker fans have any connection to Milwaukee other than maybe Kareem. You know, Kareem came from there, but it, you know, Phoenix has always been kind of in our division. We've been, you know, we've had a lot of battles with them. We've met them in the playoffs a bunch of times. They feel like a team we actually know. Here's Dominique on line three. Hey, Dominique, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
This is Dominic, not Dominique. But
all right, sorry. Jorge screwed up your name. He doesn't know how to spell. Hi, Dominic.
John, Momo, Lindsay, Jorge, how you guys doing?
Everybody's good, man. Glad to have you.
I'm one of the guys who almost won a car.
Oh, wow.
You guys did it.
And maybe we'll give away another one one day. Hopefully you'll win.
No, I think that the Lakers fans should go for the Suns. I think Chris Paul deserves it. But on the other hand, if the Clippers would have won, I would have voted for Milwaukee. So that's what I see.
Yeah, I think that for, and thanks, Dominic, for the phone call. Ramona, that's true. Laker fans will never root for the Clippers. I know that Bill Plachke tried to write a whole article. I know Ty Lue tried to say if the Lakers are out of it, Laker fans should root for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, I've worked in both teams. It's never going to happen. Laker fans are never going to root for the Clippers.
I know.
The one exception might be if it's Clippers-Celtics in the finals. If it's Clippers-Celtics in the finals.
Oh, we got everybody upset when we had this question last time, John.
Then you, like, Dr. Buss told me before he died that if it's anybody against the Celtics, he would root for whoever the anybody is. His attitude was anybody but the Celtics. They are our biggest rival. They are the team that we chase, and they chase us. You always want the Celtics to lose. So that would be the one exception. But I don't think you can ask Laker fans to root for the Clippers. I don't think they're going to do it. Here's Mario in Santa Monica. Hey, Mario, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, Mario. What do you think?
Absolutely, the Bucks. There's no reason why any Laker fan should be rooting for any other team in our conference. First of all. Second of all, everyone's talking about Devin Booker and his Kobe relationship. People forget that Kobe challenged Giannis, too.
He challenged
him to get an MVP, and he challenged him to win a championship next. So That's what I would root for if I were a Laker fan. Plus, you don't want any other team but the Lakers winning on the West. I don't care about the Bucks. They're going to be irrelevant soon either way. So, you know, they can have this championship for all I care.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate your call, Mario. You know, that's an interesting point that he made about Giannis. I think, Ramona, Giannis is now the question of can you win a title with Giannis as your best player has been answered, even if they don't win. I know that sounds weird, but I think he's been so good in these finals that he's now going to be looked at as a guy who can carry a team to a championship. You agree?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, look, did they get by the Brooklyn Nets because Giannis conquered all of the things that people used to do to him? I don't know that I would say that.
So how did they get by him?
Because Brooklyn had all those injuries.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I just thought Brooklyn was doing the best they could with just Kevin Durant. But, like, once Harden played but wasn't himself. And I just thought the Bucks had – I think both these teams that are in the finals have been the healthiest. Flat out. They just – they've had the best luck with health. And that's not to take anything away from them. Like, other teams, you know, they beat them. They won the games fair and square. But they – all three of these teams played teams with significant injuries.
Well, I know I'm sound like a broken record here, but I firmly believe that if LeBron and AD didn't get hurt, the Lakers would be back in the finals and winning another title. I think it's the only thing that stopped the Lakers from winning it. Here's Danny in Downey. Hey, Danny, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Momo. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hi, Danny. Yeah, sure.
So I've been a listener for you guys for quite some time, especially you and Mace. Let me just get to the point. So basically, I am not a basketball fan. I'm a Lakers fan. I've been a diehard Lakers fan since 1977, 1978. I'm almost being 50 years old, so I'm getting close to that. So what I'm basically saying here is I don't care who wins these finals. I'm not even watching them. If all teams were healthy, I agree completely with you. Lakers would be crowning a repeat title this year.
It's interesting. Thanks, Danny. I mean, that's how I look at the Stanley Cup Finals, Ramona. I like hockey, but I'm really a Kings fan more than I'm a hockey fan. So if the Kings are in it, I'll watch every minute of every game. But if they're not in it, I just kind of check in every once in a while. I will say, though, because NBA is my favorite sport, I've been watching these finals, and I think the finals have been great. That game the other night was thrilling.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I watch this because, it's my job to watch, right? But I think that this last game has been good. The other games haven't been quite as exciting, right? I mean, they've kind of been, one team kind of ran away with it towards the end. But look, we do have some intrigue. Like, I know there was some concern about, two pretty small markets here. And, there was a chance to have an LA-New York finals with either the Lakers or the Clippers and then the Brooklyn Nets. So there's a little disappointment that we didn't necessarily get that, but Chris Paul's a good story, right? Devin Booker's a good story. Giannis is a good story. And I think they've produced some pretty good basketball so far, even though not every one of the games come down to the wire, but we've seen really good basketball. I didn't think all those games were particularly well played, though. I mean, there's a lot of turnovers in game four. Did you? I mean, just watching that, I was like, oh my God.
Right, but the last 5 minutes was great.
Yeah,
I couldn't turn it off.
It's exciting, yeah.
Yeah, especially when they didn't call that foul on Booker. That was unbelievable.
Two of them.
All right. Reminder, coming up Game of Games in about 20 minutes. It's Momo's game, and she always either does really good ones or really bad ones.
This, I think, is going to be good. I think
excellent.
I worked hard. I did.
Okay, so coming
up
next.
Last night, I was sitting around doing it. Okay, let's see. Let's see.
Don't answer right now, but coming up next, if you got invited to a nude, drunken pool party at Bill Gates's house, would you stay? I mean, would you go or would you stay away? And do you have a way that works to get rid of the hiccups? Because if you do, the president of Brazil needs your help. We'll do those next. Mason in Ireland. Momo in for Mace, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Favorite part of that promo is when Jorge calls him a fool.
What's up, fool?
Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace. Game of Games coming up in 10 minutes. Okay. Honest answer I need from all three of you.
All right.
It turns out that there's a writer named James Wallace who wrote two biographies on Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world. It turns out that in Microsoft's early days, Gates had a propensity for partying. On more than one occasion, he invited friends and dancers from the local all-nude nightclubs to swim naked at his bachelor pad overlooking Lake Washington. Wallace says, quote, Gates rounded the girls up himself and brought them over there. I don't know if he physically transported them there or if he just told them where to show up. So here's my question. Momo, you first. You get invited. You hear about these parties. You get invited to the next one, to a Saturday night party at Bill Gates's pad overlooking Lake Washington.
Ugh.
Do you go or do you stay away?
Oh, I'm staying away.
What?
No way, man.
You're
like,
no interest.
No, I don't want to be a part of that. Like,
okay.
Look, so much of my life is not putting myself in situations that could ruin us. Like, could ruin my like whole reputation.
Lindsay, how about you?
I would go because I'm not a drinker, and I would be super curious to see what's going on out there.
Jorge?
Nah, I think I'll pass on that one.
Okay. You guys are knuckleheads. Lindsay's 100% right. You go just for the story. If it's ridiculously uncomfortable once you get there, you can always see. Like, for example, Momo, have you ever been to the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, why'd you go?
This was also before I was more of a public figure.
Yeah.
Like, the truth is, like, I got invited to some kind of event. There was like they have MMA fights there sometimes.
Yep.
They had an MMA fight, and I wrote a story about it. It was kind of interesting. It was sort of like, I want to see it. I like the experience. But
I've been there three times, okay?
Yeah.
Twice in conjunction with the ESPYs. The ESPYs had a
party
deal
there,
where they would have a party there. And once in conjunction with a Laker event, like that something, Dr. Buss was being honored or something, and so I was over there doing. I would never turn down a chance to go to the Playboy Mansion, even though I knew there was a lot of debauchery there, just because I wanted the story. I wanted to be able to tell the story later. If you say no, number one, they stop inviting you.
That's
and
true.
Then you never have the story. Ramona, I'm shocked at your answer. You went to the Mustang Ranch for a story.
The Love Ranch, yes.
It almost killed you, by the way. I was very nervous. But,
I was very nervous too.
But you got a great story. We milked that trip for like 3 weeks.
Oh, John. I mean, I have stories for years from that trip. Like,
so why? Okay, you'll go.
But
to
I was
the
on
must,
assignment. I was what, on
what,
assignment.
Okay, what if this was an assignment? Okay, so
I'll go. Yeah, if it's an assignment, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
But
saying,
if it's just for a social thing and I'm invited, I don't know. I don't think so.
What if you say to Nevin, Nevin is Ramona's husband, who we all know. You got and the invite is for you. It's for the couple. Okay.
Okay.
If you say, Nev, I really don't want to go to this thing. It's not really my thing, but you get a vote here. You're invited too. What do you think Nevin would say?
Oh, he doesn't like to go to anything. I can't even barely get. I mean, he'll go with me if I really make him. But like, I used to make him go to the ESPYs with me, and he was like, "I gotta be honest. I mean, this is a lot of getting dressed up. I got to put a tux on."
I agree with Nevin.
Like, yeah, and so then I just started inviting friends. Like a couple years ago, I took Jackie McMullen with me.
Oh wow!
If you ever want to go, I'll invite you. I try to get Mason.
No,
with
no,
me,
yeah,
he's
that's who. That no, Mason would want to go.
Yeah,
the strange
no,
thing
leave.
about The strange, of course he would. The strange thing about this particular question is it's one of the few things that Mason would pass on.
Really?
Like, he's not really a strip club guy.
Yeah.
In that, and it, normally it's the opposite. I would pass. Like, I'm very happy, like, living. I like the my nights off. I like doing what I'm doing. Yeah. I like hanging with the people I hang with. I don't need to do a lot of outside stuff. Mason feels like he has FOMO. He feels like if he doesn't do a lot of outside stuff, he's going to miss out on something. This is something I guarantee you that he would just say, I have no interest. I'm not going. There aren't very many things for him like that, but this would be one of them. Jorge, why wouldn't you go?
Like Altuve said.
I got in trouble with my wife.
That's a good job. That's a good job.
What if you told Brenda she could come with you? Do you think she would be up for it, or she'd say, no, we're not going?
Brenda straight up would say, no, okay. I'll pass.
Yeah, I think adventure is out there, to quote Up, one of the great Pixar movies of all time.
if you give me an assignment, I can plausibly say that I was there to potentially write about it or talk about it later, then okay. But if I'm just going socially, I think it's like you're putting yourself in bad situations.
Okay. as Herm Edwards says, don't hit send. See, that might be the one reason Mason would agree to go is it would for his Instagram. He cares about what people think of his Instagram. Yeah. All right, so here's the other question. The president of Brazil has actually been hospitalized because they can't cure the hiccups. He's had them for 11 days. His name is Jair Bolsonaro. He can't get over the hiccups. What do you do if you have a bad case of the hiccups?
Can I do it? Can I do it for you right now?
Sure.
Okay, you're going to just make a drop out of this. Just get ready, Jorge.
Okay.
Okay. You just take a big gulp of air and swallow it and then burp. I'll do it right now. You ready?
Yeah.
There. That's how you get rid of them.
That is the greatest thing you've ever done in the show. All right. So this is the way
it works.
This is what's worked for me. You know how they say you hold your breath and then you can like, and sometimes it works. That just holding my breath doesn't work. But what I'll do is I will time the hiccups. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So the hiccups, like, let's say the hiccups are coming every 23 seconds. All right.
And I have like contractions or something.
No, I pull up my iPhone.
Getting real deep with this here.
Yeah. No. All this is how you get rid of them. I'm telling you, this guy in Brazil should do this.
Okay.
You time when you know the hiccups are coming. Okay. And then, so let's say they're coming every 23 seconds. You hiccup. And then when you get to about 19 or 20, so you know another hiccup is coming, you just chug the biggest thing of water you can find. So you'll actually be drinking when the hiccups happen, and it can't do both things. You can't hiccup and drink at the same time. So most of the time, that will get the hiccups to go away.
That's pretty good.
Doesn't always work.
That sounds plausible, good, actually. Yeah.
Jorge, what are you doing when you get the hiccups?
Okay, so my uncle used to do this on me all the time. So I would be hiccup, you know, I would have the hiccups. And he would be like, dude, that is so annoying. I'll give you $100 the next time you hiccup, and I will stop doing it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'll
give you $100 if you hiccup right now again. And I would stop doing it. I wouldn't be able to do it anymore.
That's weird.
It is weird, but for some reason, it worked.
Oh, my gosh. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Lindsay, what do you do?
Okay, so my mom taught me this. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I swear it works. If you take, like, a pencil or a pen and you...
This sounds unsafe already.
No, like, you
just letting you know. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You bite down on it. Like, you put it, like, sideways, you know? It's like you're biting down on it, and you drink a glass of water, and I guess
Wait, with the pencil in your mouth?
Yeah, like, take your finger and hold it out in front of you sideways, right?
Okay.
You do that with, like, the pencil. And you drink it.
I'm biting down on my finger. Where does the water go?
Well, it like leaves a little hole.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so, like, I don't know. I guess
people are literally driving around LA doing this right now.
Wait a minute. No, I just tried to do this with a bottle of water, and all I got was a really wet shirt. This doesn't work. Okay.
I did it.
I need a video.
It works. It's where it works.
Okay. So there you go. Anybody who has the hiccups, there is the Mason and Ireland public service announcement for the day. For foolproof ways to get rid of your hiccups. You can burp. You can bribe with $100. You can time it and then guzzle water. Or you can do some crazy thing with a pencil and pour water all over your shirt. There's four ways to get rid of the hiccups. Coming up next, game of games. It's Momo's game. Lindsay, Jorge, and I will compete. 710 ESPN.
There.
All right, it's time for Game of Games. I'm trying to figure out, Jorge, did you win yesterday or did I win? I can't remember.
No, you did. You did.
Okay, so I'm up to four. Lindsay has three. Jorge has one. And Momo yet to scratch, but it's Momo's game today.
Yeah.
Momo, what's the game?
Okay, so we have, in honor of Space Jam that is coming out this week.
Yeah, it came out today.
Actually out, right? It's out.
Yeah.
You can watch it on HBO Max or go to your theaters. I have a trivia game about athletes who have successfully made the transition to acting. Okay, got it.
So I
want to ask a question for you before we begin. I wrote it as multiple choice. However, if you feel particularly strong, we can do name as your buzzer.
Well, here's it. No, you can actually do both.
Okay.
You ask the question, and if nobody jumps in with an answer... Right. Then read the multiple choice. But now here's the thing for Lindsay and Jorge. Once she starts reading the multiple choice, you got to let her get finished. You got to let her read all. How many do you have? Three possible answers for your multiple choice?
I did four, but I can make it three if you want. I don't care.
Yeah. No, do four. Four's fine.
Okay.
All right.
Four's
go
fine.
For it.
Okay. All right. So name is your buzzer. We have nine questions. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Name is your buzzer. Although her sports career never put her at the top of her profession, it did give her the notoriety she needed to land a small part in the 2000 Jim Carrey comedy, Me, Myself, and Irene. Who was the sports star?
I don't know.
Let's get the choices.
All right, here's our choices. Is it A, Lolo Jones, B, Anna Kournikova, C, Tanya Harding, or D, Danica Patrick?
Ireland. Oh, are we all going to guess?
Well, we all guess now, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say Anna Kournikova.
Okay. Lindsay?
That's also my answer.
I'll go Danica Patrick.
John and Lindsay are correct. Anna Kournikova. All right, John, you're keeping score, right?
Yep.
Okay, we'll stick with name. You want to stick with my name as your buzzer?
Yeah, no, you can do both. Okay. Just do exactly how you did that question.
All right, let's do it again. What power-hitting outfielder played a small but pivotal role in the 1988 action movie Naked Gun?
John.
Okay.
Reggie Jackson.
Boom! Got it. Ireland's good.
Yeah, and he was hypnotized, and he was supposed to kill the umpire or something.
Yeah, really good. Okay.
All right.
This athlete started out as a professional wrestler, but quickly became a beloved actor with roles
Lindsay.
Conan the Destroyer. Go ahead, Linz.
I was going to say John Cena.
That is incorrect.
Ireland.
Ireland.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That is incorrect.
Ooh, Jorge, you got an opening. Keep reading.
Yeah, he wasn't a pro wrestler.
But
roles
Conan's
in Conan
in
the
Conan.
Destroyer. Mickey and Maude and the Princess Bride.
Oh, God.
I know what it is now.
I do, too.
Is it Andre the Giant?
It is Andre the Giant. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good. This Ramona, you're right. This is a good game.
It's a good game, right? Okay.
Ireland 2, Lindsay and Jorge 1 each.
Okay. This former football player is probably best known as Moses Hightower in the Police Academy movies. Go for it.
Bubba Smith.
Boom. Ireland is good at this game. All right.
3-1.
Okay, this one's a little hard. You may need the choices, okay? After popularizing a move called the 360 flip on the professional skateboarding circuit.
Okay.
Is
it Tony Hawk?
Nope.
Ah!
This native Californian got a small taste of acting with appearances in a music video and a bit part in 1993's Mi Vida Loca. 2 years later, he landed his first starring role opposite Shannon Doherty. Who was it?
I'm going to need the choices.
All right. Ben Affleck, Jimmy Fallon, Jason Lee, or Billy Crudup?
Lindsay?
I'm going to guess Jason Lee.
Jason Lee was a skateboarder, so my guess is that that's true, but just to make things interesting, I'll say Jimmy Fallon.
Should have gone with Jason Lee. Lindsay gets the point.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Iron 3, Lindsay 2. Okay. Jorge 1.
This former baseball player played himself in several movies, including 1988's The Naked Gun and 1994's The Scout. Who is the former baseball player? Is it A, Steve Lyons, B, Tim McCarver, C, Rob Dibble, or B, or D, Bob Renly?
Jorge.
Rob Dibble.
Okay.
Lindsay.
Ireland. I'll guess McCarver.
All right. Ireland?
I think she's right. I'm going with Lindsay. I think it's McCarver.
It is Tim McCarver.
Yeah.
He's the only one I've heard of.
Yeah.
All right, this one is a good one, you guys. Come on. Right, everybody get this. You got to get this one. Ready?
All right.
After a cameo in the 1996 movie Jerry Maguire, this sports star went on to guest voice on both King of the Hill and The Simpsons. What California-born sports star was this? Was it A, Marcus Allen, B, Pete Sampras, C, Nomar Garciaparra, or D, Troy Aikman? We'll go with who. So we went to Lindsay first, so I guess it's Jorge first.
I'll go with B.
Pete Sampras?
Yeah, okay. I'll go with Nomar.
All right, Lindsay?
Did you say, what was the last one, Troy Aikman?
Troy Aikman.
I'll guess Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman is correct. King of the Hill?
No, I don't watch that show.
All right. We have two more left. What is the count here? What's the count?
It's 4-4. Jorge's kind of out of it, but he can play role of spoiler.
Okay.
I have 4. Lindsay has 4.
All right. This martial arts master became a full-fledged action star with films like The Delta Force, Missing in Action, The Way of the Dragon, and Firewalker.
John.
Go for it.
Chuck Norris.
Boom. You got it. All right. Lindsay, you need this one or it's over.
Lindsay, if you get it, I'll give you the win. Because this is the last one, right, Momo?
This is the last one.
All right. If Jorge or I gets it, then I win. If Lindsay gets it, she wins.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This former WWE star released a rap album that actually rose to number 15 on the Billboard charts. They later become a successful actor with big roles in The Marine, The Suicide Squad. Go for it.
Is it John Cena?
It is John Cena!
Boom!
Wow!
Lindsay!
Lindsay comes from behind
the wall. You gotta play John Cena's theme song now.
Yeah.
I was trying to go slow.
No.
Did you know he was a rapper?
Yeah. That was like his original character on WWE. It was like a rapper.
Did not know that.
Well, you guys know that both Shaq and Kobe released... Well, Shaq released rap albums. Now, what's this, Jorge?
John Cena's theme song.
Okay.
It's a great theme song.
So
it's pretty good.
Jorge, see if you can find this. Kobe did a rap called K-O-B-E. And when he did the video, he got Tyra Banks to do it with him. And the one thing that it wasn't like terrible, but he didn't like it. Kobe didn't think it was perfect, so he never did it again. Did you know that, Momo, that Kobe released a rap song?
Of course. I definitely knew that. That's how we met Vanessa. And when I wrote my big story on him at the end of his career, I actually went back and talked to some of the guys that he used to be in the rap group with. It was called Cheese Saw. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
That was the name of it.
So Jorge found it. Here's Kobe actually rapping.
I recognize this song. I know this song. This is a sample. It's Baby When You Like It. I get so excited.
Okay, so
that song.
Here's the reason it was completely worth Kobe having a brief rap career.
Yeah.
If you watch Kobe Bryant's Muse, the movie.
Yeah.
I think this is like, think about this if you could have it in your own life. It recorded the exact moment Kobe and Vanessa met.
Yep.
If you watch that movie. He walks up to the dancers. He goes, "Hi, I'm Kobe." And she goes, "Hi, Vanessa." And it's the very first time they ever met, and it's on video. How cool
is
that?
It's amazing.
Can you imagine, like, the very first time you met Nevin, if you had a copy of that video?
Yeah, like, it's pretty cool, too. And it's like, you know, the Kobe rap era in his time, it's a really fun, like, if somebody was making a movie about Kobe or was doing something of an unexplored section of Kobe's life, that would be it. Like, he used to do rap battles like 8 Mile style out in Philly.
Well, like, you remember that when the Lakers won the title one of the years at one of the parades, Shaq did a rap.
Yeah, I remember.
About him and Kobe calling It Takes Two or something. And it was like, it wasn't horrible. Like, Damian Lillard, it could actually be a rapper. Like, matter of fact,
He's released music.
Yeah. He's got some songs in Space Jam. The one here, he's not only in the movie, but he's got some stuff going on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So is everybody watching?
There was another Shaq rap. Do we remember that one? It was after Kobe, after he got traded.
Kobe, how's my blank taste?
Yeah, I think my dinner, something about my dinner taste.
But hey, is everybody going to watch Space Jam this weekend?
At some point.
But I have to wait until next week because I promised my
nephew. You're going with your Jorge, are you going to watch it or are you passing?
No, I'm watching it tonight with my daughter.
I may watch it tonight Yeah.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it. But you know what? The truth is, I'm kind of behind on Below Deck. I have like this week's episode still to watch. I also want to watch Million Heart Listing New York, which I didn't watch last night.
Yeah, they added a hot female realtor on that
show.
Yeah,
KJ. She's awesome. Yeah, I like her. So I might watch my Bravo shows first and then go to Phoenix tomorrow. So I've got the game.
Oh, that's right.
Might not be
that's right. You're going
week.
To Phoenix. Yeah. Who wins tomorrow night?
I'm going to go Suns.
Yeah, I think they probably do win at home. Okay, Momo, thank you very much for filling in this week.
Hey, and happy birthday to you, and maybe I'll see you Monday.
Well, you know what's interesting? Happy birthday to you on Monday. We got a lot of July birthdays around here. Coming up next, Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.